Okay, let's read Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Let's pray. Great God of heaven, we thank thee for this beautiful psalm, often called the marriage psalm or the family psalm. We pray that as we expound it in these few minutes, as a summary of what we've been trying to say for the last 8 or 9 or 10 years in this family living class, in terms of marriage and child rearing, that we would understand this is the way to live, to fear with a childlike fear the living God, and that the fruit of that fear will be a genuine happiness in the Lord, in our families, in our households, in our work, and in our worship. So bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been keeping track here in my record book, and I believe this is the 164th family living class on parenting and marriage. And I thought it'd be fitting to close this season with something that was a summary of what we've been trying to see. And I know of nothing better than Psalm 128. Because the fear of God really is the heartbeat of how we are to live in marriage and how we are to live in our families. And that's the theme of this psalm. That's why Luther called it, as I mentioned in prayer, the marriage psalm or the family psalm. And you know that's the theme of this psalm because if you look at verses 1 and 4, you see repetition, don't you? In Hebrew poetry, when a theme is repeated twice in one piece, it's like, in English, underlining or putting it in italics. It's the emphasis. It's the key thought. So you know immediately this psalm is all about fearing God. Fearing God. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. Only 5 psalms begin with a pronouncement of blessing on God's people. But Psalm 128 is unique among those 5 in that it gives us a simple recipe for genuine happiness in the totality of our lives. And interestingly, the psalm really centers on God's 3 major creation ordinances in which we were created happy: work, marriage, and worship. Work, marriage, and worship. And most blessings in human life do radiate to us from these 3 centers: your domestic situation, your worship of God, and your work. So verse 1 is a general statement of the happy person. He's one who fears the covenant Lord, who walks in his ways. And those 2 things are inseparable. If you fear God, you will walk in his ways. If you walk in his ways, that reveals, if you do it from the heart at least, that reveals that you fear the Lord. It works both ways. And today, we have to confess there are so few people that are motivated every day of their lives in a tangible way, a conscious way. Today, Lord, help me to fear thy name. Now, what does it mean to fear God? Well, the fear of God involves three essential ingredients. First, it means to have a correct conception of God's character. You can't fear God if you've got a distorted view of who God is. Second, the fear of God involves a pervasive sense of God's presence, so that you really walk through the day. In the spirit of Francis Schaeffer's famous book, How Shall We Then Live? Because we're living in the presence of God, or as the Reformers said it, and you've heard me say this often, in coram Deo, we live in the face of God. We're never away from God, never away from the eye of God. And for a believer, that ought to be comforting. For an unbeliever, it ought to be dreadful. And then thirdly, the fear of God involves a constant awareness of our obligation to God. We must always be about our Father's business. So the way to live, if you're going to live in the fear of God, is get a right conception of God, a biblical conception of God, and then every day, you walk with the consciousness that He's there and with a sense that everything you do, whether you eat or drink, you do all to the glory of God. That's your desire. That's your passion. That's to be Christ-like, isn't it? I'm always about my Father's business. So it begins when you get up in the morning. What's the first thing you say to yourself in the morning? Well, hopefully the first thing you do is you talk to God, not to yourself. And you say, Lord, help me. Just help me today to live to thy glory every step of the way, to consciously do thy will with joy in my heart. That's what you want to do. Now, that's challenging. It's challenging for men who work in offices in the midst of a worldly environment. Challenging for mothers at home, working with the mundane sometimes of changing diapers and things of that nature. How do you change a diaper to the glory of God? Well, if you sing in your heart to God, and you appreciate all your duties as a mother because you're raising covenant children for the Lord, you can sing in your heart to the glory of God in the most mundane duties of life. In fact, there's nothing in which you can't lift up your heart to God when you fear God and ask His blessing upon all that is right and true. Now, John Brown, I've often given you his definition, that to fear God means to esteem the smiles and frowns of God to be of greater weight and value than the smiles and frowns of men. But John Brown also said something else. He that fears God will fear nothing else. And so the beauty of fearing God is it takes precedence over everything else in your life. A reverent fear of God is the key to faithfulness in any situation, any temptation. Because if you fear God, then you want to do what's right in that situation. So godly fear always shrinks from sin. Fear of God is inseparable from, therefore, what we call true piety. To reverence God, to love God, to obey God in Jesus Christ, to extol His attributes. See, the fear of God softens our heart, makes us watchful. It promotes godly conversation, self-denial, singleness of heart, compassion, prayer, diligent use of the means, delight in God and in His commandments. I love Thomas Watson's statement. The fear of God promotes spiritual joy because it's the morning star that ushers in the sunlight of comfort. Now, the privileges of God-fearers are numerous. John Bunyan said he has a license to trust in the Lord, for God is his teacher. He understands God's secrets. Christ is his hidden strength. God's eye is over him for good. He lacks no good things. God is his father, and the armies of heaven encamp around him. What a list. If you've got all those things, you've got a lot going for you. And those are fruits of the fear of God. So, we need to ask ourselves, are we fearing God? And if we are, we will reap a genuine happiness, not an artificial happiness, a genuine happiness. And that genuine happiness will manifest itself in our work. Notice that in verse 2, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, shall be well with thee. In verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, so by the sides of the house thou shalt like olive plants round about thy table, so you reap happiness in your home. And 5, in your worship, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Zion's a symbol for the sanctuary where you worship. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And even in old age, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. So let's look at each of these just a moment. Happiness in your work. For thou shalt eat the labor, the man that fears God shall eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So the God-fearer, the true Christian, does 5 things in terms of this enjoyment. First, he enjoys his work in the fear of God. Enjoys achievement in his work. Relishes every accomplishment. That's a token of God's love. In God's grace. You know, I had a professor at Westminster, and one day we came into class, and he wasn't there, but there was just these 4 letters on the board, capital letters, TGIM. And he did it purposely to intrigue us. And like, we're sitting in students, what does that mean? TGIM, TGIM. And he walks in and he says, thank God it's Monday. And we look at him. He says, that's what a Calvinist can say who lives for the glory of God, in the fear of God. He said, you ever think about it? The world's only happy on weekends. Thank God it's Friday. Can't wait to be down the road. Looking at their watch, wondering when their work can be over. And they get to go home. But you see, the Calvinist who lives in the fear of God enjoys all of life. Enjoys working for the glory of God. So he says, TGIM, TGIT, TGIW, TGITH, TGIF, TGIS, TGIS, the whole week. Thank God for every day. Number 2, the happy man who fears God enjoys work because he has a God-glorifying. It helps him to center on God throughout the day. It preserves him from a lot of trouble. It helps him to pursue his work goals with zeal and with clarity, because everything is designed for the glory of God. You heard that story about Horatius Bonar. I think I told it once anyway. Maybe it's been some years now, but that he was walking down the road one day, and there's some work being done, and restoration of a church, and the 3 guys working down there in the dust and dirt. And he was feeling a little down about himself and about his ministry. And then he looked down at these 3 guys working, slaving away, chipping away at things. And so he looked at them. And he said to the first guy, he said, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this kind of work? And the guy looked up at him, wiped away all the dust and dirt from his face and said, well, it's a job. Asked the second guy, why are you doing this? The guy says, well, I've got a family. I need to feed my family. Just a little more optimistic. Asked the third guy. And the third guy says, you see this I'm working on? This You see that up there? The top of the steeple? This is going to go up there to the glory of God. It's going to ring the bell and call people to worship. And Bonar walked away and thought, wow, that third man was much happier than the other two. He realized he was working for the glory of God. And you see, you can have the most mundane job that people don't want. You could have a job of cleaning toilets and be completely happy doing it to the glory of God. Three, the happy working man trusts in the promise of God's provision. He says, thou shalt. Happy thou shalt be, even if the supplies dwindle, like the widow of Zarephath. And then fourthly, the God-fearing man is happy because he handles life's disappointments with spiritual maturity, resting by faith in the sovereign purposes of God. And finally, fifthly, he enjoys for eternity God's gracious reward upon his works. Do you understand what it will be like on the day of judgment to hear the Lord say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Happy in your work, when you fear God. Then happiness in your home. Look at verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. So there's three blessings here. First is the blessing of a fruitful, godly wife and mother. What a blessing when children see a happy marriage. See mom and dad rejoicing in each other, loving each other. And what a blessing for a God-fearing man when he's got a God-fearing wife in which he rejoices. And the fruitful wife manifests her fruitfulness by many graces from Christ in her life. You know, the vine is a symbol of fruitfulness. It produces refreshment and gladness. And so what the wise man is saying here is that your wife will be as a fruitful vine. She'll offer you wise counsel as a husband. Your heart will safely trust in her. She'll provide companionship, intimacy, and unspeakable joy throughout all areas of life. It's like an all-encompassing companionship. But secondly, the blessed man in this psalm who fears God doesn't only have a wife, he's got children. And these children are around his dinner table like olive plants. An olive tree, when it reproduces, it drops leaves and somehow they go in the ground and they form roots and shoots and they grow up and they look just like the olive plant. So he pictures, here's the godly man who fears God and the children are around about his table like olive plants. And they look like dad, they sound like dad. And how happy it is when father can see the fear of God in his own children as a fruit of the fear of God in his own life, all out of free and sovereign grace. So if the fear of God is present in parents, that bodes well, because normally God's covenant faithfulness will make the children like little shoots of the parents. It can also be scary when you think about your faults. But God's grace will prevail, like potted shoots that promise to become trees rich with olives later in life. The godly man, his children, embody God's covenantal promise of innumerable blessings for the future. And then, the godly man who fears God just has this happiness in the home. The home is a place of happiness. Not just his wife, not just his kids, but there's an atmosphere of joy because they're walking in the ways of the living God. And then thirdly, There's happiness in our worship. Happiness in our worship. When we fear God. When you fear God, you come to the house of God to hear about God. You come with joy. You come with anticipation. And so all blessings in life ultimately come from Zion, come from Jerusalem, come from worship, when we worship God. So we read in verse 4 and 5, "Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." And then finally, there's happiness. Happiness even in your future. In your future. "Thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." So when you obey Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness." When you fear God, then Psalm 128, verse 6, "Thou shalt see thy children's children, peace upon Israel," becomes the norm. The norm. Normally, you will see your grandchildren, but not just your grandchildren, but spiritual peace upon your grandchildren. Now, I've got a brother who's 69, and he's got 52 grandchildren. And he tells me one of the greatest joys of his life is seeing those grandchildren getting converted one after another and walking in the ways of God. He says, "It's nothing like it. Seeing your grandchildren fear the Lord. It's exciting. Peace, spiritual peace upon Israel." John says, "I have no greater joy than to see my children," we might add grandchildren, "to walk in the truth." So, in summary, this is the foundational secret to all true happiness in this life. The fear of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It will bring you happiness in your personal life, in your work, in your home, among your children, and for the unknown future. And all, of course, only in Christ. Outside of Christ, God can only be a consuming fire and an everlasting burning. But in Christ, childlike fear will reap true joy. So that's my wish for you and my prayer for you. And so I want to conclude by reading Psalm 128 as a prayer. I printed it for you on the back of your outline. Let's read that as our prayer as we close this class for this season. I call it a lifelong marriage prayer. "Lord, bless us as a married couple with the fear of thy name, so that we may walk in thy ways, so that we may eat the labor of our hands, so that we may be truly happy, so that it shall be well with us. Let my wife be as a fruitful vine in our home, and grace us with children who may be like olive plants round our table. Teach me that if I fear the Lord as head of the home, these blessings shall accrue to us. Bless us in worshiping thee in thy house. Grant us to see thy church prosper all the days of our lives. Let the fear of God lead us to true blessedness at work, in the home, and in thy house, so that, for Christ's sake, we may see our children's children in peace upon thy spiritual Israel in this life and a better forever." Thank you, and God bless you.